B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome into Checkpoint XP Daily for Friday, October 18th, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily. Cloud9 didn't just lose at Worlds. They got pantsed. They got pantsed. Their dick is out. It is a bad situation. That conversation is coming up today on Checkpoint XP. Plus, we've got a special segment. I don't want to tell you what it is just yet, but one member of this cast is going to be put on the hot seat.
Wait, what?
That conversation is ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But we start today talking about the coolest thing you've ever discovered in a game. Games are incredibly rich and detailed environments, and it allows for things to just be discovered. There's like little, sometimes they're Easter eggs, but sometimes they're just like amazing little pieces of game that you end up coming across. And I'm kind of curious what the most epic ones you guys have ever found.
I'm going out on a limb. It's not a big secret or anything like that, but in Skyrim, I discovered the Dark Brotherhood completely by mistake. I did not intend on looking for a quest line. It, like many things,
what is
Skyrim.
What is the trigger for the Dark Brotherhood in Skyrim?
There's a certain house that you have to enter, and you fall out, I believe, and then you wake up in a separate house.
Oh,
and you have to choose to decide which person to kill.
Is it the one where the NPC comes to you while you're sleeping, or because? Yeah. Was it in
Morrowind? You get attacked by an assassin in your sleep, and that's what triggers the Morrowind.
That's right. And in Oblivion, I believe you actually had to kill an innocent person, and then they would come to you when you rested.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah,
but in Skyrim, it was different because like there were different. Like I don't think you actually had to kill anyone.
No,
for them to come
trigger
visit
it
you.
If you just enter. I believe it was one particular house you could enter, and then the next time you rested, you would be absconded and taken to this particular house.
Oh, interesting.
And so I was freaking the hell out. Like, I was sitting back like, is this broken? Like, is this a glitch? And then the lady's sitting in the corner, like on the ceiling or something, and I'm just like,
yeah. She's like up on the,
she's like perched in the corner, and I'm like, yeah, it's official, this game is broken.
So I think online games are particularly interesting when it comes to, you know, like finding secrets or coming across, you know, strange things. I play a lot of Fallout 76, and, you know, there are locations on the map that are marked that you can fast travel to. But like any Bethesda game, there's just weird things that you end up coming across in places on the map. The first time that I had found what ended up being Vault 51. Again, an unmarked location on the map, and at the time had no numbers. It was just a blank texture that was on the door.
Interesting. That's super weird.
Super weird. There's another one. There's people call it Carhenge, where it's a bunch of cars and they're arranged like Stonehenge.
Oh, that's cool. Oh, okay.
Yeah. So like, developers hide this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And I love when they do it.
I feel like in the modern age right now, with how much we spend online, especially when a new game comes out, I usually end up hearing about these from other people or reading them in articles before I have a chance to come across them myself.
Right. Yeah, a lot of times you're directly
there. So, I mean, you know, back in the day, there's bunches of Easter eggs I've found before, but I think, and I'm not necessarily sure this falls in the purview of what you guys were thinking, but there was once in Final Fantasy VII, with the way that you could set materia, which is, you know, what magic or abilities that you could use. There was a particular one, slash all and multi-cut, which if you
slash all,
it let you hit everybody at once with your attack, or multi-cut, where you attacked multiple times. I don't know how I did it or what the arrangement of materia was on Cloud, but I hit the attack button and he slashes all, then jumps out and starts like hitting multiple ones and then jumps back and then adds another one at the end. And I'm like, that was like a mini Omni Slash that I can do every single
attack,
time.
Yeah.
Wow.
And I had removed all the material at some point on accident.
Oh, no.
And couldn't get it back into whatever that configuration was before.
So that sounds like you glitched something
maybe?
Out.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Possibly?
Except clearly, like, they had the animation for it, so
right, yeah,
it seems
yeah.
like it must have been intentional.
Well, Slash All had its own
yeah.
special
yeah.
animation.
Yeah. It's. I mean, Joe. What about you? What are some of the coolest things you've ever discovered by accident?
Mine. I think the two that jumped to mind immediately come from the same game, and it was Morrowind.
Another Bethesda game.
Yeah, I'm noticing a pattern here with Bethesda games. They seem really good at this. But I remember in Morrowind, as I was just exploring around the city of Vivec, and I was just going through all the different cantons and trying to figure out what everything was, and I saw one that was in the Lalu one, and it said vaults. And I was like, ooh, a vault. I mean, that'd be cool if there's actually something like in the vault. And there it's you go in and there's a level like a lock level 90 door.
Oh, wow.
In it. And then I'm sorry, it's a lock level 50 door first. And you have to. So I had the spell that lets me pick that lock. I snuck around, picked it. Then there's a level 90 lock right behind it. I'm like, man, I had to like go level up my skill to get it. I get in there. And yeah, The room is just full of all the most like expensive armors and gems and stuff like that.
No
and I'm
kidding.
Sitting here like, oh, I just hit the mother load. Holy cow,
wow.
This is amazing. And then on my way out, the guards were a little upset with me on the way out for not unrelated reasons. So on my way out, I just leave north right out of Vivec, and I come across the Dren Plantation, which is another area with some of the best armor in the game. And there's nothing that directs you to these places or anything like that. You just happened to go there.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, all the best stuff in the game I found kind of just out of accident.
So
cool.
I kind of want to break our pattern here of just talking about Bethesda games.
Sure.
And actually, like, one of the games that did this, maybe the best that I've ever seen executed, and I didn't find it, and I was just enthralled with the treasure hunt that was happening on YouTube, but it was the Mount Chiliad mystery in Grand Theft Auto
V. Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
like, And that was one that I think, and I'm not even sure about this, that I think the developers were adding on to over time.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, players would be able to advance the mystery only so far, and then another update would come for, like, online, and they'd sneak another Easter egg in there and let it advance. I lost track of it at some point. Like, I lost track of the thread of the narrative of where the Easter egg hunt was going, but for a while, it was the most interesting thing in Grand Theft Auto. Now, the most interesting thing in Grand Theft Auto is Grand Theft Auto roleplay,
right.
But, you know, that's neither here nor there. Yeah. But I just love this idea of developers being so dedicated to designing an intricate game world that they, you know, the detail is so specific that you can come across these little small things that only maybe 1% of players will ever find ever.
Yeah, and I think another game that did that really well was actually Banjo-Kazooie back on the N64. They had these three...
Infamous for its Easter eggs.
Yeah, they had these little Easter eggs that, I mean, I spent forever trying to figure out how to get them. Like, there's just this one part in the ice level where behind the ice wall, you can see a key floating in the background. You're like, there's got to be a reason for it.
Yeah.
Why would they put it there? And as it turned out, there was a way to get that key. And after years, I never figured out what it was. It wasn't until the internet came around that I was able to finally
thank you,
get
internet.
It for myself.
Yeah,
thank you,
I think
internet.
Another one that I thought of that I had to actually just look up and remember so I could get the story right is that in GTA 5, also, there's like a cult.
Oh,
you
can
only interface with this cult through random events.
Yep.
So I completely discovered this quest line by mistake, and it was really, really interesting.
All right. Well, listen, we got to hear from you on this. What is the most interesting Easter egg or set piece that you've ever stumbled across by accident in a video game? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we've got a surprise segment because, listen, someone on this very show is going through something very difficult. So we're going to break it down here on the show coming up in a little bit on Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, Cloud9. What happened?
Oh boy.
We're going to talk about it and their performance at Worlds ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
So Cloud9 was NA's real hope at Worlds, right?
That's what some people would tell you.
Nope. Not at all. Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on WXSM Tri-Cities, Tennessee, as well as ESPN Phoenix 620. You've been asking for it, and it's finally here. Checkpoint XP merch is officially available. We've got shirts, hats, hoodies, and mugs for Checkpoint XP, Low Team Damage, and the other identity. Plus, we've got a brand new shirt and hoodie that's available for a limited time this fall and holiday season. Check it out over at CheckpointXP.com/shop. Cloud9, man, what the hell happened?
All right, so a couple things. We are going to talk about... Well, that did happen, for sure. We're going to talk about what matches to expect this weekend. But yeah, we need to start with Cloud9, because Norris and I made some brackets... And well,
I made a bracket.
Okay, yeah, sorry. Norris, Robbie, and I made some brackets, and they can all get thrown in the trash.
Yeah, because every last one.
They are ruined. Norris, so first game today, Cloud9 versus Griffin. Would you agree with me when I say that that match is a legit contender for the most embarrassing game of League of Legends ever played at Worlds?
Easily. And I knew it was going to be a problem right in the draft, because essentially what they ended up doing was going with, you know, what was it, Shen top lane, and you had Nocturne in the jungle. Either way, their composition was made up of all five of us have to be in the same place at the same time, and we have to stack our ultimates in order to win fights. Against a Korean team, you really thought you were going to be able to do that against the second best team in all of Korea. And that right there let me know that as soon as the draft went through, this was going to be tough. Not impossible, but tough. And then they fed immediately the first two kills of the game.
See, I felt differently. I liked their draft. I liked their draft a lot.
Oh, God.
I liked the idea of we're going to play, because we know we're going to get out-rotated a lot of the time because they're a Korean team that are very good at it. I like the idea of a team that has a lot of global ultimates that can get around the map quickly to try to counter that. From a draft perspective, I really like the play. From a execution standpoint, good God.
But they
lost, what was it? Was that 16-1 at the end of that game?
16-1 at the end of the game.
Oh my God.
Took zero turret, zero plates.
They got smashed on all fronts.
10K gold lead.
They were losing by like 5K gold at like the 10-minute mark.
Oh, yeah. Come on, buddy.
It was that bad. And Joe, I'm sorry. I don't see how... I understand what you're saying about the draft in particular, but they had no damage. They had no burst. They had no ability to, if they're going to fight, to kill anything.
I think they had plenty of... at least in the early game, they needed to have enough damage to get through to the mid-late game when you could start seeing Kayle come online. And we saw that. Their one kill that they got, they chained some alls together and literally deleted the Elise on the other team. Mm-hmm. That they do have the damage. Even a fed Elise got deleted quickly. They just lost all three lanes.
Yes.
Fed kills constantly. Let the Akali run wild. And yeah, because of that, they lose.
Yes.
Anyway, moving on from the embarrassment that was Cloud9, and
I thought it was garbage.
Yeah, and anyone out there who thought that Cloud9 was truly the best hope for NA at Worlds, you're out of your minds.
I'd like to point out, by the way, I did get number 4 right in that bracket.
Everybody did.
Yeah, you're not alone. So let's move on. We do need to talk about actually how that bracket ended, because everyone thought for sure G2 Esports was going to win that bracket. Even if Cloud9 had done their job, Norris, you still would have been wrong, because Griffin wins that bracket.
Yeah, and you know what? They were the team on form. I mean, they were the team in the ascendancy. And I think, here's the thing. I think your first match coming out of a day where you have to play multiple matches is so important. So you go out and you stomp Cloud9, the second best team in NA, a team that had gone into deep into the knockout stages of Worlds last year, and you come in and you absolutely emasculate them. That's gotta have you feeling good going into all the rest of your matches. It was like, if we could do that to C9, we could go up against anybody.
Yeah. So let's move on and take a look at what we got going on tomorrow. Tomorrow, Group C gets underway. So I know a lot of our Clutch Gaming hopefuls out there are praying for the miracle, praying for the comeback. Yeah, they started off 0-3, but they could go 3-0. And if some other teams lose when they need to, maybe there could be a tiebreaker.
No,
that's not what's going to happen. Tomorrow, they're going to probably go 0-3 again. They're going to go finish the bracket 0-6.
And the question is who finishes in second at this point? Because I still think SKT has been the most impressive in this tournament.
Yeah.
So I think they topped the group. But the question is, does Royal or Fnatic get it together and finish above Royal? I don't think they can. I think Royal still finishes it up.
I think Fnatic is feeling the loss of their mid laner from last year a little bit too much. I just don't feel like they are the same team that they were when they went to the runners up at Worlds last year. Yeah, I think SKT and Royal are taking Group C for sure. But that moves us on to Group D.
Oh, God.
The Sunday Showdown.
Aren't there three teams tied right now?
In Group D?
For number one?
No. Liquid's 2-1.
Everybody's 2-1. Damwon's except for 2-1. AHQ.
And, yeah, you're right. Invictus is 2-1. Yeah, three teams are tied for first in that one. So my opinion on that is I think we're going to see a lot of what we saw the first part of the double round robin. I think Liquid will win two games, probably lose a third. I don't know if it'll be to Damwon or to Invictus. I think they probably lose to Damwon and beat Invictus this time around.
I disagree. I think Liquid has a strong chance of making it out of this group. I think
I agree too.
Yeah, not just making it out. I think, topping the group.
Oh, okay.
I think they can, you know, look at how they played against Invictus the last time, and you know, and really come back and make the adjustments and beat them. They've already beaten Damwon. They'll beat AHQ. So I think there's a strong chance that they can come out, you know, 3-0 from this round of groups. And the question is going to be, is Damwon going to be better than Invictus Gaming? Because I have them coming out in second place and Invictus getting left behind in groups.
You do. So let me ask you, Norris, of all the matches that we have this weekend, what are the two you would say? What's the number one match you're looking forward to on Saturday and Sunday?
To be perfectly honest, I am looking at Team Liquid versus Invictus because I think that, you know, that will tell who tops the group.
Okay.
And also, I'm going to be looking at Fnatic versus Royal. That's going to be a very, very important match. So those are my two to look out for.
For me, bright and early tomorrow morning, 8 a.m., Royal versus SK Telecom T1. I think you're probably watching the two best teams in the world right now playing each other, giving you a good preview of what might end up being the finals. Watch that match. And on Sunday, I think it's Liquid and Damwon early in the morning. My only problem with calling it for being Liquid and Invictus is by then we're probably going to have a pretty good idea of how the group's going to shake out.
That's true.
But bright early, 9 a.m., Liquid versus Damwon Gaming. Don't miss that one on Sunday.
All right. Well, there you go. That's what to look out for this weekend at Worlds. Make sure you connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next, we're going to have a special and serious discussion. Get your game faces on. That's ahead next on Checkpoint XP Daily.
Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
We have a member of the cast who is struggling, and we're going to help him out.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on ESPN 1520 in Buffalo, ESPN 1200 and 1440 in Syracuse, and ESPN 1310 and 1350 in Utica, Rome. Checkpoint XP Daily is now a part of the BPod Network at bpodstudios.com. For more great listening options like Nerd Radio and Geek Culture Congress, two shows that you can catch live at our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Make sure you subscribe to them over at bpodstudios.com, the place to be for podcast discovery. Boy, one of our cast members is struggling with, I think, an addiction at the moment.
It's definitely a problem.
It is a problem because, Joe,
wait,
I've noticed something.
You've been liking some things on social
lately.
Yeah.
Spending time.
I gave up caffeine, if that's what this is about.
Spending time on the weekends, role playing about it, liking some tweets, bringing it here to the show.
Joe specifically told me he was hype.
I've heard hype for the Mandalorian TV show. I've seen you replay Knights of the Old Republic recently.
Yep.
You're role playing a Star Wars campaign. Joe, I think you can no longer accept the moniker of a lapsed Star Wars fan.
All right. Okay.
Well, come on, guys.
All right, I see where this is going.
It's not like he's going to buy the new EA game or anything.
That is not what he told me.
He is the only one of us that actually owns a copy of Battlefront 2.
Joe.
All of us said we were going to check out the canon story. I'm sorry, Norris, you also own Battlefront, don't you?
Unfortunately.
Yeah, okay. Joe. All right. So they got two of us. So this new game that EA is putting out.
You're going to
Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order.
You're going to buy it?
Okay, so Joe,
I pre-ordered it.
I mean that Joe.
Oh my God, he spent his money.
God.
He spent
wait,
his money
are you
already.
Kidding me?
You pre-ordered it.
Why?
No,
is there at least a good pre-order bonus? So
you could have at least just got it on Origins for $1 and played it for the month or something.
What is this segment? I thought we were doing your favorite RPGs.
We're not doing your favorite RPG.
No, this is officially an intervention.
Focus,
so,
Joe,
I have to say this. Your agreement to purchase Jedi Fallen Order has affected me in the following ways. Number one, we had a non-purchase pack together to not support EA's Star Wars efforts. Number two is that you were very vocal at the fact that EA would not get any more of your money. Three, you said you were not impressed with what you saw at the preview videos, and now I see that is a lie.
I don't think I said that about the preview video.
I have to say, my trust has also been shattered in you. You know what? Maybe this game would have been good if they'd have followed the original plan and had a female, what was the alien chick they were going to use? But no.
The Twi'lek?
Yeah, there you go. But no, we didn't think EA's words that people would resonate enough with this, so instead we put in a straight white man. I guess it worked.
It worked.
I guess it worked. Didn't
it worked,
it, Joe?
Though, didn't it? It did.
All right.
They got the Joker from Gotham.
Joe, I thought you was woke.
Well, hold on.
I thought you was woke,
but
Joe.
I still would have pre-ordered it with a Twi'lek girl. It'd have been even better. But I mean, I started reading the reviews that are out now. People have gotten their hands on it. The game's gone gold.
The reviews. The obviously paid reviews, Joe.
That's right. When was the last time you trusted IGN with anything?
Yeah, well, Joe.
Ethics in games journalism.
To be
Joe.
Fair, it wasn't an IGN review. I would not trust their review. I believe, if I recall, they rated something as being equal to eating sand and gave it a 3 out of 5.
You know, Joe, I'm not even mad that you want to play it. Like, somebody here would have to play it, right?
Yeah, we don't have a choice.
Right.
We got
to figure out what it is.
Yeah.
Okay, but you seem to have already sold your soul. You're supposed to go into this objective, Joe.
Yeah. Okay.
Do your job.
Be objective about it.
Listen, man, I don't know. It looks really good. Like,
does it?
Yeah.
Does it?
It really does.
I mean, I don't think it does.
They've got a lot of interesting stuff going on with the lightsaber. They say it actually feels fun to play, like, to use that as a weapon, which so many times the lightsaber sucks. It gives me kind of that.
No, you know what, Joe? You know what, Joe? Since you're doing this, sell me on this game. Sell me this game.
Come on,
right,
Joe.
Now.
Do your job.
When I look at the game and what I've heard of it so far, it strikes me as being a very Elder Scrolls-esque take on something like Star Wars.
No.
Well, if you're not going to listen.
Wait, hold on. The videos that I've seen of this, you're going through hallways and jumping across platforms. What's Elder Scrolls about that?
Do you remember going through dungeons in Skyrim?
Where's the open world, though? To me, Skyrim is.
Sure. Where'd overworld at?
No, well, listen, I will give you this for Skyrim. The appeal of Skyrim was the open world, but the reason I kept playing it so long was how many damn dungeons it had.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the idea that you can, the game itself, there's a lot more to do besides just the story. It is sure. going around and exploring the ancient Jedi ruins and stuff like that. That gave me this feeling of like, wait a minute, that sounds an awful lot like doing the Daedric ruins in Morrowind, which was one of my favorite parts about doing that. Daedric ruins are always a ton of fun to explore. And you know what? While I do admit, God, I would have loved for a Twi'lek main character or really any a Bith main character. I don't care. Anything but just another white human player would have been great. Man, I think part of it is I just really want a fun Star Wars game. And I'm not going to get it from anyone else.
If you wanted a fun Star Wars game, they re-released Jedi Outcast
on
the Switch.
Hold on. He may be looking forward to those surprise mechanics they inevitably put into the game.
The surprise mechanics.
Lots of fun.
I mean, it is EA that we're talking about here.
So here's the thing about that. EA, almost like clockwork, we would know about them by now. The game's gone gold. It's ready to go. Why haven't we heard about them?
How is it called a surprise mechanic if they told you, Joe?
Yeah, Joe.
I don't think that's why they called it.
Let's be clear, okay?
Yeah.
Microtransactions have tanked the last two Star Wars games have come out of EA.
I agree.
I do not, for half a second, believe that EA is actually going to go to the step of not including them in the game.
Right.
There's no way we will know about them
before one patch.
Yeah, exactly.
Before the actual commercial
release.
I have to tell you this, though. If that is the route they go, where we have now had developers' copies available for review and all that, people have given their thoughts on it, and we find out that they are adding in like loot boxes or something on a day one patch after people have put their money in.
Will you burn your game? Will you burn your copy?
No, it doesn't matter. EA already got it $60.
They already got the money at that point, although I could ask for a refund whether or not I would get it.
You ain't never getting that money back.
The riot that they would have on their hands. I mean, think about the riot they saw with Battlefront 2. It was so severe, they actually changed stuff about it and it tanked their game.
But guess what, Joe? They've already got your money.
Yeah. And here's the issue. Fine. This is some huge, big controversy. People boycott EA. They change whatever. 2 years from now, you're buying the next game.
Yep. You ain't changed.
See, you even know.
You ain't changed.
You even know.
You ain't changed, which is why we're having this intervention.
I know. Well, it's like, I don't really even call myself a lapsed Star
Tell me
Wars
now
fan.
You will accept this help.
No.
Tell me now you will accept this help.
No.
Or you will have to be ostracized from this family.
I'm going
to
play this game. I'm going to love it. It's going to be great this time, guys. They won't hurt me again.
I would love to believe that. But
they only hurt me because I make them.
The only people being hurt here are us. By you, Joseph.
We have to find a new news desk.
Yeah. Clearly he can't be objective.
We have to find a new news desk.
Why can't you guys just let me enjoy my game?
I'm sorry.
Get out!
I'm sorry.
All right. Well, listen, we want to hear from you. We want to know how Joe's addiction has affected you in the following ways. Connect with us on social media. It's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Thanks for joining us for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as a wide collection of podcasts and interviews. Join us Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. Eastern live at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. Our theme is provided by the band Weird At Last. Find more at weirdatlast.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. Lead segment producing by Joe Sloan. Brand management by Chad Callahan. And, of course, my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP Daily. Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's A. Bender. keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.